and welcome to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. I'll be reading the program notes for all of the Classical Music Series concerts by the North Carolina Symphony for the 2017 and 2018 season. The program notes I'm reading today are for the performance by the North Carolina Symphony on September 29th at 8 p.m. at Lee Auditorium, Pinecrest High School in Southern Pines, and September 30th at 7:30 p.m. at Wilson Center, Cape Fear Community College in Wilmington. This concert will be conducted by David Glover. The guest soloist will be pianist Micah McLaurin. The program on this performance will include the following. The North Carolina Symphony opens with Ludwig von Beethoven's Symphony No. 6 in F major, Opus 68, the Pastoral Symphony. Then there will be an intermission followed by a presentation of Sergei Rachmaninoff's The Rock Fantasy for Orchestra, Opus 7. And finally, another Rachmaninoff work, The Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini, Opus 43. And that will feature the guest soloist, Micah McLaurin. First, here is some background on the featured soloist. A native of Charleston, South Carolina, 22-year-old Micah McLaurin studies at the Curtis Institute of Philadelphia with Robert McDonald. McLaurin holds titles from several international competitions, including the Ettlingen International Competition for Young Pianists in Germany, the Thomas and Yvonne Cooper International Piano Competition at Oberlin, the Arthur Frazier International Piano Competition, the Hilton Head International Piano Competition, and the IIYM International Piano Competition. Now, he was the youngest of eight pianists chosen worldwide to participate in the Verbier Festival Academy in Switzerland, as well as one of eight pianists selected to participate in the Music Academy of the West in Santa Barbara, where he won the concerto competition and performed with the Academy Festival Orchestra. Now I'll begin reading from the program notes. The first work to be performed by the North Carolina Symphony in this concert is the Symphony No. 6 in F major, Opus 68, the Pastoral Symphony by Ludwig von Beethoven. Born December 16, 1770, in Bonn, Germany, Beethoven died March 26, 1827, in Vienna. The Symphony No. 6 was composed in 1807 and 1808, and the first performance was December 22, 1808, in Vienna, conducted by the composer. Now here's the overview. Beethoven gave each of the five movements of his Pastoral Symphony a title describing its general character. The first movement, filled with verdant sweetness and effusive good humor, is headed Awakening of Cheerful Feelings on Arriving in the Country. The violins present a simple theme that pauses briefly after only four measures, as though the composer were alighting from a coach and taking a deep breath of the fragrant air before beginning his walk along a shaded path. The melody grows more vigorous before it quiets to lead almost imperceptibly to the second theme, a descending motif played by violins above a rustling string accompaniment. Again, the spirits swell and then relax before the main theme returns to occupy most of the development. To conclude the first movement, the recapitulation returns the themes of the exposition in more richly orchestrated settings. The second movement, Seen by the Brook, continues the mood and undulant figuration of the preceding movement. The music of this movement is almost entirely without chromatic harmony and exudes an air of tranquility amid pleasing activity. The form is a sonata allegro whose opening theme starts with a fragmentary idea in the first violins sounded above a rich accompaniment. The second theme begins with a descending motion like that of the first movement, but then turns back upward to form an inverted arch. A full development section utilizing the main theme follows. The recapitulation recalls the earlier themes with enriched orchestration and leads to a most remarkable coda. The rustling accompaniment ceases while all nature seems to hold its breath to listen to the songs of three birds, the nightingale, the dove, and the cuckoo. Twice this tiny avian concert is performed before the movement comes quietly to a close. And when later Romantic composers sought stylistic and formal models for their works, it was to Beethoven that they turned. And when program music, music based on a narrative, was the subject, this coda was their object. Beethoven titled the scherzo, "Merry Assembly of Country Folk," and filled the music with rustic bumptiousness and simple humor that recall a hearty, if somewhat ungainly, country dance. The central trio shifts to duple meter for a stomping dance before the scherzo returns. The festivity is halted in mid-step by the sound of distant thunder portrayed by the rumblings of the low strings. Beethoven built a convincing storm scene here through the tempestuous use of the tonal and timbral resources of the orchestra, standing in bold contrast to the surrounding movements of this symphony. As the storm passes away over the horizon, the silvery voice of the flute leads directly into the finale. Shepherd's song, happy, grateful feelings after the storm. The clarinet and then the horn sing the unpretentious melody of the shepherd, which returns rondo fashion to support the form of the movement. The mood of well-being and contented satisfaction continues to the end of this work. The instrumentation for the Pastoral Symphony is as follows: piccolo, two flutes, two oboes, two clarinets, two bassoons, two horns, two trumpets, two trombones, timpani, and strings. Following the intermission, the North Carolina Symphony returns to the stage for a performance of Sergei Rachmaninoff's The Rock, Opus 7. Rachmaninoff was born April 1, 1873, in Oneg, near Novgorod, Russia, and he died March 28, 1943, in Beverly Hills, California. The Rock was composed in 1893. The first performance was March 20, 1894, in Moscow. Vasily Safonov was the conductor. Now here is the overview. Though he seldom burdened himself with study or regular class attendance, Sergei Rachmaninoff was one of the greatest products of the Moscow Conservatory. He wrote his well-known prelude in C-sharp minor in 1892, the year of his graduation. At one of his examinations, he played his own Song Without Words for a jury that included Tchaikovsky and was given the highest possible rating. When he left the school, the faculty unanimously voted to place his name on its roll of honor. Among Rachmaninoff's first compositions as a new graduate was the one-act opera Aleko, whose premiere at the Bolshoi on May 9, 1893, so impressed Tchaikovsky yet again that he offered to have it produced with his own one-act Iolante. Inspired by these early successes, Rachmaninoff spent the summer at 1893 in a country home in Kharkov composing the Fantasia Tableau, the Fantasy Tableau for two pianos, Opus 5, three songs, a sacred choral work, the two pieces for violin and piano, Opus 6, and an orchestral fantasy, The Rock, Opus 7. The Rock was premiered by Vasily Safonov and the Russian Musical Society in Moscow, as I mentioned, on March 20, 1894. Now, here is what to listen for. Rachmaninoff was always reticent about divulging specific programs behind his orchestral compositions. When he conducted The Rock for the first time in England in 1899, he called it simply Fantasy in E Major, though he did leave a clue concerning this work in the printed score, and I'm quoting here, "This fantasy is written under the impression of Lermontov's poem, The Crag. The composer has chosen as epigraph for this composition the opening lines of that poem, the little golden cloud spent the night on the chest of the giant crag. However, in 1898, Rachmaninoff gave the famed writer and dramatist Chekhov a copy of the printed score with the inscription, quoting here, "To my dear and highly esteemed Anton Pavlovich Chekhov, the author of the story Along the Way, the contents of which served as program for this musical composition," unquote. Now, these words led the British author and pianist Patrick Pigott to believe that Lermontov's lines merely symbolize the characters in Chekhov's story, which was, he claimed, the true inspiration for the rock. In their study of Rachmaninoff, Sergei Bertinson and Jay Lita summarized Chekhov's little tale, which is set in a roadside inn on Christmas Eve with a blizzard raging outside. Here's a quote from that description. "Two travelers traveling in opposite directions are detained here. A gruff, passionate, middle-aged failure, the giant crag, and a delicate and lovely young woman, the golden cloud. He tells her of his life and beliefs, the emotion in his voice drowning the storm's roar outside. In the brightness of Christmas morning, she is overcome with pity for him, but has to continue on her way as he prepares himself for his next painful failure," unquote. And the rock is built from three themes: a gloomy opening stanza given by the cellos and basses, probably representing the man, a delicate, arabesque-filled melody portraying the woman, and a passionate strain spun from a two-measure repeating motif. "The music makes us hear all the emotional imagery in Chekhov's story," wrote Bertinson and Lita. "It depicts the storm's angry whistle penetrating every crack. The bell sounds filtered through the driving snow, the sweet human music of weeping, and the story's final picture that sounds as characteristic of Rachmaninoff as it does of Chekhov. Snowflakes settled greedily on his hair, his beard, his shoulders. Soon the imprint of the sleigh runners vanished, and he himself, covered with snow, gradually assumed the appearance of a white crag. But his eyes still sought something in the white clouds of the drifts." The instrumentation for this work is piccolo, two flutes, two oboes, two clarinets, two bassoons, four horns, two trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, harp, and strings. And the final work to be performed by the North Carolina Symphony in this concert is the Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini, Opus 43, this once again by Sergei Rachmaninoff. It was composed in 1934. The first performance was November 7th, 1934, in Baltimore, conducted by Leopold Stokowski, with the composer himself as the soloist. Now here's the overview. The legend of Niccolo Paganini has haunted musicians for more than two centuries. Gaunt, his emaciated figure cloaked in priestly black, Paganini performed feats of wizardry on the violin that were simply unimagined until he burst upon the European concert scene in 1805. Not only were his virtuoso pyrotechnics unsurpassed, but his performance of simple melodies was of such purity and sweetness that it moved his audiences to tears. So far was he beyond the competition that he seemed almost superhuman. Perhaps, the rumor spread, he had special powers, powers not of this earth. Perhaps, Faust-like, he had exchanged his soul for the mastery of his art. The legend, propagated and fostered, as we now know, by Paganini himself, had begun. Now, Paganini, like most virtuoso instrumentalists of the 19th century, composed much of his own music. Notable among his output are the breathtaking Caprice for Unaccompanied Violin, works so difficult that even today they are accessible only to the most highly accomplished performers. The last of the Caprice, number 24 in A minor, served as the basis for compositions by Schumann, Liszt, and Brahms, and was also the inspiration for Rachmaninoff's Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini, which he combined with the ancient chant melody Dies Irae, Day of Wrath, from the Requiem Mass for the Dead. Now here is what to listen for. The Rhapsody, a brilliant showpiece for virtuoso pianist, is a set of 24 variations. The work begins with a brief 8-measure introduction, followed, before the theme itself is heard, by the first variation, a skeletal outline of the melody. The theme, 24 measures in length, is stated by the unison violins. The following variations fall into three groups corresponding to the fast, slow, fast sequence of the traditional three-movement concerto. Now, the instrumentation for the Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini is as follows: a solo piano, piccolo, two flutes, two oboes, English horn, two clarinets, two bassoons, four horns, two trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, harp, and strings. You have been listening to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I will be reading all of the program notes from the classical music series of the North Carolina Symphony for the entire 2017 and 2018 season. This program is available on demand as a podcast on the day before each concert series and will remain available for the remainder of the concert season. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today. We sincerely hope that listening to Symphony Notes will enhance your enjoyment of your North Carolina Symphony. Goodbye until next time.